The Bible is full of divine promises. Pastor Ray Bentley has insight on how to put them to work.
We must claim God's promise by worship. All the promises of God are yours, theoretically, until you step on them and claim them one by one. This promise is for me. You got to claim it. You got to appropriate it. And the way to express, you know, confidence is to worship the Lord.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Did you know the Bible contains more than 7,000 promises? How many of them have you claimed today? Pastor Ray gives us some help as we continue our studies in the book of Joshua. We'll follow the example of the Israelites who embraced God's promise of victory when facing a fortified enemy.
Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Title of the message, God's Manifest Presence. One of the most famous stories in the Bible about Joshua and the battle against Jericho, the walls coming down. And I believe God has an application, life application. So let's look at Joshua. We're actually going to start in chapter 5. I want to read verses 13 through 15. This special visitation that Joshua, the commander of the armies of Israel, had on a night where I'm sure he was pacing, praying, and wondering, oh my goodness, what's going to happen with Jericho? So it says in verse 13 of chapter 5, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, Yahweh, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so." Here's the first life lesson I want to take out of this encounter between Joshua, the commander of the Israeli armies, and the commander of the armies of the Lord. When God is present with his people, he is always present with power. And Joshua ended up on his face. So here in a period where Joshua, he's by Jericho, he is apparently alone one day, he's praying, God, what is your purpose and your plan? And he suddenly sees an armed figure. And this figure is called a man. At least that's how Joshua initially interprets what he sees. Though this man speaks, as he speaks, we discover that he is something far, far more than just a man. Whoever this man is, he is clearly a warrior. And since Joshua sees him with his sword drawn, it means this commander is on duty. No wonder Joshua fell to the ground before him as he recognized the commander of the armies of the Lord. And I'm sure that as he was on his face, he was waiting, what message does the commander of the armies of Yahweh have for me? And truly, there was a message from this man with a sword drawn, but a very curious one. He doesn't give him any battle plans. He tells him, take your sandals off, for the ground on which you now stand is holy. And he allows worship to take place. This is no angel. And as I mentioned before, I believe that this is none other than, it's called a theophany, is the fancy word for it, an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before he ever was born in Bethlehem, because he existed eternally. And on several unique occasions in the, what we call the Old Covenant, Jesus, who I think couldn't wait to come to the earth, he snuck in a few times. And I believe this is one of those times the father said, son, go down. Because they're at the beginning. This is just the beginning of the conquest of the inheritance God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the whole deliverance from Egypt and with Moses and crossing the Jordan River. And now finally the 2 million of them are just inside the land. But the first place they must conquer is a walled city called Jericho. And God wanted to encourage him, and so he bowed down and he worshiped. Again, when God is present with his people, he is present with power. Now let's get into the story, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. Stop there for a moment. So what happened, this walled city apparently had gone out. They'd heard of the children of Israel. The message of the miraculous deliverance from Egypt, even the miracles in the wilderness, had reached people inside. They knew. And they knew, man, this God of these people was more powerful than the gods of Pharaoh and the most powerful military in the ancient world, the Egyptian army. And it wasn't that the people were this, you know, mighty warriors. They were just average, normal people, but their God. And then the miracles that he performed for them to survive all the way 40 years through the desert. And now they have come to our doorstep. And I'm sure they were terrified. So they had stocked up provisions. And there were no people going out to get water. They'd stocked up. No people going out to get food. They had reservoirs and they're waiting, terrified inside. And so Joshua is met by this man, the commander of the armies of the Lord. Take off your sandals. The ground you stand on is holy ground. Does that ring a bell? This is clearly a parallel with Moses, who when he saw the burning bush and he got near to it, because he kept thinking, well, that bush is on fire, but it never seems to burn. So as he drew near, a voice came out of the burning bush. And what did the voice say? Take off your sandals, for the ground you stand on is holy ground, Moses. It was a one-on-one divine revelation of the creator of the universe. And what happened with Moses, get your sandals off, is now happening with Joshua. So God is wanting to let the people know, as I have promised, as I was with Moses, so I am with Joshua. And may I say to all of you, look up here for a moment, the same God, powerful, Father, glorious, mighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, and present with his beloved children and family, the same God that was with Moses, the same God that was with Joshua, is with us here today in the present times. He's with us. Now, so he goes on in verse 2. It says, and the Lord, all capitals, meaning it's the name of God, the holy name of God, Yahweh, said to Joshua, see, and then in my Bible, it's got an exclamation point. When God speaks sometimes, he speaks with emotion, passion. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. I love this. Because Joshua is about to have the first encounter in the promised land, and it's going to be a battle royale, and God is encouraging Joshua by telling him from the beginning how it's going to end. How many of you would like to know, in every conflict you have to face at home, in life, in business, career, friendships, whatever, how would you like to know how it's going to end? All right, well, note this. God tells us how it will end from the beginning. That's what the first two verses of Joshua 6 tell us. God tells Joshua, even before he gives him a supernatural battle plan, because it's going to be a supernatural victory, but he doesn't give him any details. He just says, you're going to win. It's yours. I, God, your creator, your father, have given it to you. So I think this is very, very crucial. And it's a critical point. Even before the battle begins, God announces the result. And God wants to do that for you, and he wants to do that for me. So if you have a pen or pencil, write this down. Military strategy doesn't matter. What does count is that even before the battle commenced, the Lord has already won. Just as he had already said, the land is yours. So also he gave Israel Jericho because he was giving them power. Now there's a scripture in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. If you don't have that scripture highlighted in your Bible, if you've never read the book of Isaiah, or if you have and you never particularly noticed this one, would you go circle Isaiah 46, verse 10, highlight it so you can remember it? Where was that scripture? Especially when you're facing a huge battle, a huge conflict, and you're needing a little encouragement along the way. So let's read out loud this prophetic word. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God says, I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. Because God sees all, God knows all, and if it's a promise for his children, he wants you to know it's already done. It's not like we're waiting and wondering, wow, I've prayed, I've stocked up, I've meditated, I've got all my friends, and I wonder how it's going to turn out. No, God wants you to know that if it's from his word and it's one of his promises and you are banking and trusting in that, you can already have the confidence that God will, he will give to you that which he has promised. He is trustworthy. Our dad keeps his promises, and there are 7,000 of them in the Bible. And anyone that you read and you find, you say, man, I need that promise. God says, it's yours. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We don't hope to win. We know that we will win because God tells us the very end from the beginning. All right, verses 3-5. Let's look at verse 3. It says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn or the shofar, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Okay, here's the life lesson. We must claim God's promise. How do we claim it? He gives the instructions, verse 3-5. We claim the promise by worship. We claim the promises of God by worshiping him. What does that mean? Worshiping, we're thanking God that he's already given to us what we haven't even seen. Because we trust that what God has said, he will perform. What he has promised, he will fulfill. So how do I express God that I have faith in him and trust in him? Worship. You say, well, what does that have to do with verses 3-5? Because everything he told them to do, here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want, the men of war, there's about 600,000 of them. With your feet, I want you to walk around the walls of the city. I want you to literally march all around it. And then I want there to be trumpets blown. And I want you to let that just rip and let it pierce the sky with the sound of the shofar. That's worship. And he goes, do it for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, I want you to walk around the city of Jericho 7 times and then blow the trumpets. And then finally, I'm going to have you shout. Well, what is that? What battle plan is that? There's no siege ramps. There's no army. It's not like they're going to have to do anything. They just have to walk. Why do they have to walk? Because God said, I have given you all this land. But then he added, every place you put the sole of your foot, I have given you. All the promises of God are yours, theoretically, until you step on them and claim them one by one. This promise is for me right here, right now. Does that make sense? You got to claim it. You got to appropriate it. And the way to express, confidence is to worship the Lord. So basically this week, where once a day, they would march around 7 times on the 7th day, was essentially an extended act of worship. Now I put a note. Here's what God is saying to them. Jericho will not fall to military strategy. No, men will not get the credit for this, Joshua. There will not an army of men either, but rather they will fall, the walls, by way of the supernatural manifestation of the presence of the living God. No, this is obviously not a plan that Joshua and his buddies would have come up with. Hey, let's march around and blow some trumpets, see what happens. No, they would never have come up with that. It was an exercise of trusting God alone for victory. The plan is very, very simple. God gives them the instructions, march on it, claim it, shout, praise me, and I will bring the walls down. Now, militarily, this makes no sense. Unless we remember the presence of Yahweh's army, the mighty angels, when we are walking in obedience, claiming the very promises of God, when we are blasting, as it were, trumpets of confidence in his word and his will and his promises, and then we shout with the worship to receive what God has given, I believe that's what releases the angel armies of the Lord, and they do for us what we can't do ourselves. And the walls came tumbling down. That's a marvelous thing when we realize, look, God wants for the natural realm and the supernatural realm to come together. That's when things get really, really exciting. So let's go on then, beginning with verse 6. Get ready for the next life lesson. And by the way, this next one is the most important one. If you forget everything else you've heard so far today, this next one, please remember. It's very, very powerful. Verse 6. It says, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. And so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the shofars, or the trumpets. Now, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, and then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. And then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. And then seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they repeated this pattern for the next 6 days. Here's what I want you to realize in this, because this is when the supernatural exploded into the natural realm, which I believe God is ready and desirous to do even more than we are. How can we release? How many of you would like to release the supernatural presence of God to manifest in your house and bring deliverance and fulfill his promises? Here we go. When we worship, when we decide to praise the Lord with our mouths and with our voice and with our hearts, and we are claiming his promises and trusting in the Lord and giving glory to God, it shifts the whole spiritual atmosphere and the environment around us, and it releases the manifest presence of God. Now, very interesting. I want you to look closely back at verse 10. Joshua gave kind of an unusual instruction to them. Now, Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, and then you shall shout. Okay, so for the first 6 days, they quiet. Well, all you could hear was the sound of the feet. So all the people inside, hey, what are they doing? What they're really afraid of is not what the children of Israel are doing. What's their God? I've heard his name, Yahweh. What is he doing? And then they blow these trumpets. So you hear that weird shofar ram's horn sound that kind of pierces into the atmosphere anyway. And then they camp at night. It's like, whew, they didn't attack today. I wonder, well, they're probably going to attack tomorrow. And the next day, there they go. Oh, they're walking. They're marching. They're going in a big circle. Oh, there goes those horns again. And then they camp. They went to sleep. Oh, there it went. Maybe they'll attack tomorrow. And it's day six. And it's building suspense. All right? But on the seventh day, that's what we're building to. On the seventh day, they're going to shout. And when they shout, that's when the supernatural is released. Okay, verse 10, the Hebrew word for shout is ruah, and it literally means to break or to split the ears with sound, i.e. to shout in modern English for alarm or joy, or I may say declaration, Jericho is ours. Ooh, what a powerful thing. Most of you know I was born and raised in San Diego, Southern California guy, so I had the privilege some years ago of actually attending a Rose Bowl. Now, I'm a big football fan, so what an honor it was for me and a friend from the church to go and sit in the Rose Bowl. Now, the Rose Bowl has a capacity of 100,000 people, and we're at it's a football game, so, man, Americans are into it. And I will never forget the sounds as one team, would make a play and then the other team would come back. 100,000 people. It was louder than a jet engine. It was so stinking loud. But I want to say to you, that ear-splitting sound in the Rose Bowl, sitting in the middle of all that shouting that went up into the heavens, you've got to multiply that 20 plus times. Because over 2 million people let out a uproarious shout that literally split the heavens and literally split the ears of all those who were there that day. And God intervened supernaturally.
A great mental picture from our study today in Joshua. Pastor Ray Bentley with his continuing verse-by-verse study of Joshua here on Maranatha Radio. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention God's Manifest Presence. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, God's Manifest Presence. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.